Progressive, respectful, mentoring, compassionate. These are the values of Palmdale Regional Medical Center. And now we proudly present Palmdale Regional Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you've never heard of pelvic physical therapy before, this specialty can be a crucial part of someone's complete medical care for men, women, and even children. My guest today is Andrea Wise. She's a physical therapist and a member of the medical staff at Palmdale Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Andrea. Tell us about the pelvic floor. What are some things that can go wrong with it, and what does it even do?
Good morning, Melanie. The pelvic floor really is a skeletal muscle, if you think about it. The difference between that and any other skeletal muscle is it is not really one you can see, so you really have to focus on what it feels like in order to move it. It's there to support the organs. It's there to help support defecatory function as well. And so when you do have problems with the pelvic floor, a lot of people don't realize that you can use it as a muscle to help support that organ function if those organs are not functioning appropriately.
What might be some causes if it's not functioning appropriately? Why would that be?
So you can have a pelvic floor that's in spasm, meaning that it just is not going to contract or relax. And if any other skeletal muscle is in spasm, as you know, it hurts. It causes a lot of pain. Unfortunately, when the pelvic floor is in spasm, you have pain with things like urination, pain with things like bowel movement, pain with menstrual cramps, all sorts of things that can go wrong in that area. And the pelvic floor can be a culprit of that, but it can also be a victim of some of those issues, too. And so when it deals with spasm, you tend to try and work on relaxation, or pelvic floor down training is another term that we'll use. If it's weak, then a lot of it becomes education and muscle learning on how to re-educate the patient, woman or man, on how to strengthen it back up again. And it's not quite as easy said as it is done, because, again, you can't see that muscle. You really have to focus on what it feels like. So there's many ways that we try to train that. There's biofeedback, there's different strengthening strategies that we work on to try and regain strength if it's a strength issue. And usually those are two of the primary issues that happen, is it's either in spasm and needs to relax, or it's weak and it needs to learn how to function a little bit better.
So women, we've heard that maybe from pregnancy, from childbirth, those kinds of things can weaken our pelvic floor. What about men? What does it for them?
Men tend to have a bigger issue when they're out of surgery. So some of the more common issues that I see amongst men are after a prostate removal or after pelvic surgery of some sort. many times I believe the prostate can weigh down against the urethra, and men don't have to really use their pelvic floor to control continence, because the prostate is over large and it's already weighing against the urethra, so they just don't use their pelvic floor as much had they not had an over large prostate. So when that prostate gets removed, now they don't know how to use their pelvic floor because they haven't used it for a while. So that's a very difficult patient to try and re-educate, because it's harder for them to feel what it is I even want them to do. But they learn. It just takes them a little while. So I think men struggle a little more with it than women do, but once they catch on, they really pick up and learn how to use it, and then they have to learn how to use it when they're up and walking. They have to learn how to use it when they go from sitting to standing. They have to learn how to use it when they walk up and down stairs. So multiple different movement strategies need to be re-educated, aside from just isolation of the pelvic floor.
So then let's talk about treatment, and you mentioned biofeedback, and we've all heard about the word Kegel exercise or Kegel exercise, however you say it. And so explain first, what is that exercise? And then let's talk about some of those other treatments to help strengthen it up.
So a Kegel exercise specifically is contracting and relaxing your pelvic floor. And, you know, it's fairly common, and but it's not as easy as you think it is to do, because many times women or men will think they're contracting their pelvic floor. They think they have this nice, strong squeeze going, and they really don't. Or they can be squeezing and think they're drawing this muscle up, when truly they're actually bearing down, which is the opposite of what it is we want to do. that adds pressure to a pelvic floor, and if it's weak, it's usually not going to withstand that pressure, and the result of that is leakage of bowel or bladder. So when we talk about a Kegel exercise, what we're talking about is truly getting that muscle to raise up a little bit. So I talk to people about raise it up towards your forehead. Think about drawing that muscle up and in. And I'll usually educate it to contract with the abdominals just a little bit as well, but not too much abdominal contraction. Otherwise, you're gonna get too much of a force difference between the abdominal wall and what the pelvic floor can do together. So that's how we re-educate. That's how we try to strengthen the pelvic floor. A lot of it is visualization and trying to learn what that truly feels like.
What about the pushing and straining during bowel movements or urination or when a woman is having a baby? That's when you have to kind of feel that and identify where that is.
Very much. Yes, pushing and straining. It's very hard for somebody with a tight pelvic floor, just like I've mentioned previously. If you have a pelvic floor in spasm, it's hard for them to learn how to relax it. And they have to be able to relax that, especially during bowel movements, especially during labor and delivery. And if they strain and push against it, but they don't know how to relax it, then it becomes more of an issue with, say, perineal tearing during labor and delivery, or, say, tearing further into an episiotomy if a woman just can't learn how to relax. And the same thing with bowel movements. What happens is you're not able to coordinate a good, smooth bowel movement, so you push and strain and strain, which adds pressure to the rectal walls, which can break down the rectal walls. It can break down the vasculature in the rectal walls, which can cause problems with hemorrhoids or varicosity. And so if you can't learn how to coordinate your pelvic floor in a relaxed state like that in order to allow the involuntary movements of the colon to happen, then you end up with this dyssynergy between the two, and constipation can happen or other results or other conditions as a result of that.
So it seems like there's a fine line between needing to relax it and needing to strengthen it. What about if incontinence is your issue?
Generally, incontinence can be more of an issue with needing to strengthen it. So you don't have as much strength about the pelvic floor to support closure of the urethra or for full closure of the anal sphincter. So that's where more of a strengthening factor begins to come in. And if incontinence is more of, say, a mixed incontinence or urgency incontinence, urgency is a little bit different than stress incontinence. Urgency incontinence is more an issue of that strong sense that you need to go. And sometimes that can be a tight pelvic floor that squeezes around that urethral opening or squeezes around the bladder. That can cause signals from your bladder to go up to your brain more frequently that you need to go more frequently. You need to urinate more frequently. So sometimes urgency is more a matter of we need to learn or we need to teach that pelvic floor to relax, and then we need to teach it how to strengthen back up again. So sometimes you have to teach the pelvic floor how to relax first before you can begin to strengthen it.
That's great information. And what does biofeedback do?
Biofeedback can be used externally, and it can also be used internally. So the nice thing about biofeedback is if you have somebody who cannot tolerate internal treatment, you can place sensors around the area where the muscle contracts. And so there's these little sticky sensors that you can set right next to the anus, actually, and you hook them into wires that hook them into the computer. And you can actually lay down and practice your Kegel exercises and watch on the computer what happens. And if you're truly contracting your pelvic floor and if you need to relax your pelvic floor. So it'll show up on kind of a graph on the computer, and you can see what it is your pelvic floor is doing. And that can help you learn, okay, my pelvic floor is tight. I need to teach it how to relax, and this is what I do. I need to breathe, or I need to just relax my bottom. Or you can learn how to strengthen your pelvic floor. You can take biofeedback into more of a functional plane, too, by having them wear those sensors hooked up to the computer while they're, say, sitting or standing, marching in place. Some people can even take that biofeedback unit to the treadmill and have the patient learn how to contract their pelvic floor, watch what they're doing while they're walking on the treadmill. So biofeedback can be used in a lot of different capacities, particularly for somebody who needs to visualize what their pelvic floor is doing if they can't feel it very well, if they're just not progressing well with regards to that sensation of, am I contracting it or am I truly relaxing it?
That's absolutely fascinating. Such important information. In just the last few minutes, Andrea, what should people with decreased pelvic floor function think about when seeking care?
You really need to have a specialist who's going to tie it all together and make it relevant. There is a lot of education that goes on with pelvic floor training, and people really, by the time they get to a point that they seek care for pelvic floor dysfunction, they're usually pretty far off. Their quality of life is really digressed. And so having a therapist, especially in a medical team, is really helpful to support that patient when it comes to addressing matters, and especially when it's such delicate topics that you're discussing. So you want to look for somebody who's going to have kind of that compassion and that ability to look at how is this affecting your whole life, not just the true function of the bladder itself or the bowel as an organ independently.
And why should they come to Palmdale Regional Medical Center for their care?
So they can come see me. That's exactly what we talk about in all of this. I worked very hard to learn some of this training, and I'm just thrilled to be able to offer that in a community that really could use that education. And I have so much support from the hospital for this program, which has just been wonderful to have that and to offer this service to the community out here.
Thank you so much. You are so well-spoken. I applaud all the great work that you're doing, Andrea. Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to Palmdale Regional Radio. For more information, you can go to palmdaleregional.com. That's palmdaleregional.com. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of Palmdale Regional Medical Center. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.